wrote for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what we call the chapter of the resurrection. What is the resurrection? The resurrection is the, first of all, starting with Jesus Christ arising from the dead, not just coming back to life. The Bible tells us of people who came back to life. Jesus, on one occasion, there was a man named Jairus, and his little daughter had died, and he brought that daughter to Jesus, and begging the Lord Jesus if he could possibly bring her back to life. And Jesus touched her, and she came back to life. But you know what? That little girl, she grew up, and then later on, she died once again. Several people were raised from the dead, brought back to life to die again. Even Lazarus, the friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, was dead. And just before Jesus went back to Jerusalem for his triumphal entry, he brought Lazarus back from the dead. They had buried Lazarus, and he was in the tomb. He was in his grave for 3 days. And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out of that grave. People did come back to life in the Bible times. God can do anything. But those people who were brought back to life lived to die again. The fact that they were brought back to life does open up questions. We wonder what happened to them. Where were they at during that time? What was their spirit doing? Did they feel sad when they were brought back to life? Even today, occasionally, we'll have medical miracles. Remember that little girl over in Kalamazoo that's in the and for the life of us, we just shake our head at the senseless violence of someone just randomly starting to shoot people to make a point. What kind of point, we don't know. I suspect there's satanic involvement in all this stuff that's going on. But that little girl, the little 15-year-old girl in Kalamazoo that was shot, and they basically declared her dead and started planning on farming out her organs, and she squeezed her mother's hand. And now they said that she's up walking on her own, talking and so on. I mean, what an incredible, incredible, heartwarming story after this absolute, stupid, senseless violence of that man just killing those people at random. We have these stories occasionally that come across of someone who had died and they came back. But when a person rises from the dead, comes back from the dead, they live their normal life then to die again. But the resurrection is something completely different. The resurrection is when the body comes back to life, but it lives on a higher plane. Totally, completely different plane than what we live on in our physical body, in our physical existence right now. To be resurrected means that the body comes back to life, but it doesn't live under the power of the heart and the circulatory system and the lungs and the respiratory system and the brain function. A resurrection body does not depend on all that physical, you know, everything physically working in it. Inside of it is a body that is alive by the power of God. It lives by some other force, by some other power, by a spiritual power. A resurrection body is a resurrection body that comes back. It knows no time. It knows no limits. It knows no boundaries. And it will never die again. It is a body that's on a level that's higher than anything we can even begin to imagine. And Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, was the first fruits of the resurrection. He was the first one to come back in this reality. You know, many times we miss the power of the resurrection, as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. See, many times we just think, yeah, Jesus came back from the dead on the resurrection Sunday. Amen, hallelujah. You know, he's dead, he's alive. But we don't stop to think about the power of that resurrection. When Jesus came back from the dead, his heart didn't have to beat. He didn't have to have blood moving through his veins. His body didn't have to be warm. He didn't have to breathe. He could go underwater if he wanted to. He knew no time. He knew no space. Even on one occasion, later on that evening, the disciples locked themselves away in an upper room, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared in front of them. It's like he just passed right through and he appeared. That's the power of the resurrection body. I mean, it's on a plane that we can't even begin to fathom. It's on a spiritual plane. And really, when you get down into it, the spiritual realm is the true reality. The true reality. What we live in here is just a temporal, mortal world. And this world will pass. But there's a true reality out there. There's a true existence. And that true existence is in the spiritual realm. And the resurrection body is when the physical realm makes contact with the spiritual realm. They both merge together, and the body is able, this physical body is able to enjoy the power of the spirit realm for all the rest of eternity. And Jesus Christ started all that. Jesus showed it to us. Jesus showed us the power of the resurrection. And so, with this in mind, then, Paul wrote about the power of the resurrection and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He starts out in verse 1 by saying, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand." He said, I want to remind you of this gospel. The word gospel means the good news. And my friend, this is the good news. The good news that death is not the end. Death is just the beginning. Now, death for a person who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's the end. That's the end. A person continues to die for all eternity. It's a place of darkness, a place of anguish, and a place of torment. It's such a sad place. The person who knew not the life of the Lord Jesus Christ dies to die for all eternity in a hopeless state, a state of torment. The Bible calls it a state of hell, forever and ever dying and redying and dying again and never knowing life. But Paul says, listen, I've declared unto you the good news that there's life in Jesus Christ. There's eternal life. We don't have to die for eternity. We live for eternity. We have the true spiritual existence in the resurrection body. He says, I have preached unto you this good news, and you received it, and herein you stand. I hope you're here today, and you have received the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, the Easter story is the most powerful message that man can ever come up with. And yet, it's like a quarterback throwing a long pass. You know, some people ask me, they say, what do you think about the Super Bowl? I haven't followed the Super Bowl seriously since Bart Starr was throwing the bomb in 1968. After that, they're all amateurs. But Bart Starr, man, back in 68, I watched it. I think that was one of the first Super Bowls, by the way. And man, we'd watch his games when he played for the Green Bay Packers, because he'd have a couple of his receivers take off when that ball was snapped, and the lineman would hold the defense back, and Bart Starr would back up a little bit, and he'd start looking downfield, and there'd be a guy heading for the goalpost, and he'd take that arm of his and he'd just heave that thing. They called it the bomb. And we'd sit there on the edge of our seats waiting for Bart Starr to throw the bomb. And you know what? The bomb turned into a big bomb if there was nobody to receive it. It was just a great big old long pass that just fell flat. But man, when you had somebody down there to receive it, that was game-winning tosses. It was game-winning throws. You know what, my friend? Paul says, I have declared unto you the good news of Jesus Christ, but you've got to receive it. You've got to receive it. The message of Jesus Christ dying for your sins does absolutely no good until you're there to receive it. Have you reached out and caught that thing? Have you caught it? Have you caught the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Have you received it? Are you a receiver of it? Paul told the Corinthians, he says, you have received it. This beautiful message, this powerful message does no good until it's received. Just like one of Bart Starr's passes did no good unless it was received. Paul says, you've received it. And then he said, herein you stand in it. And my friend, once we've trusted Christ as our Savior and we've received the message of Jesus Christ and we've received Him as our Savior and we're born again, then we stand on that reality. We stand on that truth and we stand on that hope of Jesus Christ. You know, my friend, when you know the resurrected Christ, there's nothing that can stop you. We sang the song about Peter, who went from a doubter and a defeatist to a man of victory and power. A few days later, Peter stood up and he preached in the face of opposition, and 3,000 people got saved because of the power of the resurrection. Peter was seized by it. He was gripped with it. And when he realized that death cannot stop him, that death is just the start, Peter went out there and he turned the world upside down as well as the other apostles. The Roman Empire couldn't stop him. Nothing could be done to stop the apostles of Jesus Christ because they stood on the power of the resurrection and the resurrected Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say in verse 2, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, or Peter, and then of the 12. And after that He was seen of over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. The Apostle Paul says Jesus was seen. He lists the number of people that saw Him, and he says at one time over 500 people at once saw Jesus Christ alive. He is alive. He is alive today, my friend. Then we're going to jump ahead to to verse 20, or in verse 19, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In this passage of Scripture, Paul says, you know, our belief in Jesus Christ goes beyond this world. If in this world only we believe in Jesus and we have faith in Jesus and we look to Jesus for our guidance and we look to Jesus for our salvation, he said, if that is something that's only in this earthly realm, he says, really, he says, we're kind of miserable. Because we need something to transcend this life. We need something that's going to last beyond this life. We need something that's going to last beyond death. And he says, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He says, Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead, and he says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. He's comparing there two atoms, and I'm not talking about one of the atomic elements of life. No, I'm talking about two men named Adam, the first Adam in the Garden of Eden. He and Eve brought death into this world, but Jesus, and the name Adam literally means man, it's just a fancy name for man. Of Adam, man, brought death. He said, Christ is the second Adam. He says, Christ, the second Adam, the second man, brought life. And he says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. He says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You know, death came upon us because of the sin of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve brought sin into all the world. They made their descendants sinners. Now, we can sit there and say, you know what, that's not fair. But you know what? There's a lot of things about our births we don't think were fair. You got your father's hair, whether you like it or not. We are I don't want to use the word victims, but we are bound by our genetic makeup from our parenting, from our lineage, from our heritage. Some people say, I wish I didn't have this hair that I got, but it's in your DNA. It's part of you. We are all descendants of the DNA that went on before us to make us who we are. And Adam, we're all sinners. Adam introduced sin into the world. Person may say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Okay, then you change it. Change it. You be perfect. You be an absolutely perfect person and you can change it then and you can brag about yourself. No, as in Adam, all die. We're bound. We're stuck. We're in trouble. We have no hope. Man cannot change his life. He cannot change his destiny. He cannot change what he is. But thank God, God didn't leave us there. He says, okay, I'll come and I'll change you. I'll change you. And Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. There is now forgiveness. But my friend, that forgiveness is not applied until you receive it. Until you're like the receiver and you reach out and you grab it and you say, man, I take that. I take that salvation in Jesus Christ. I receive it to myself. It's not enough for us to say, yeah, my team received it. No, you got to receive it yourself. Jesus undid the sin and the error of the first Adam. And Jesus now stands as the second Adam, as the Savior of the world. Through His death, we have eternal life. And then through His death, we have forgiveness of sins. And through His resurrection, we have eternal life. As the narration said today, a dead Savior would just give us a good story, a love story, a story of someone who was willing to die for someone else. But a dead Savior couldn't do much for us other than give us a nice little story. But a living Savior, the fact that He came back alive, can give us eternal life. And my friend, I hope you are a recipient today of not only the forgiveness of your sins, but eternal life in Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer.